D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. The Predator season came to an end yesterday, but the team still has a big decision to make, hiring a GM. And to discuss that and more with us, let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend, Sportsnet NHL insider, Elliot Freeman, who is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Hi, Elliot. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thank you so much for joining us, as always. So, Elliot, you mentioned on the latest episode of 32 Thoughts, the podcast, that Nick Saban has played a big role in the latest round of in-person interviews for the Predators GM opening. What more can you tell us about that? And how much influence would you say he has in the process? Clearly, he's not making the hire, but it appears his voice is carrying some weight.
Yeah, so I haven't spoken to any of the specific candidates, and I am not surprised because they would not want the Predators to think that they were talking to me. But I do think that he's been involved, and I do think that he's not afraid to give his opinion, whether it's in the room or to the Predators organization themselves. And look, like, I don't need to explain to you guys the respect that people in your market have for Saban. And maybe he's not familiar with hockey per se, but he has opinions on what he thinks makes winning teams and winning organizations. And I just think he's been in some, if not all, of these meetings. He has offered opinions on what he's heard, and he's asked questions. And, you know, I spoke to someone who I think knows one of these candidates really well. And he just said, like, it's the thing about Saban is, and I'm sure you guys have all felt this at different times, is if you allow it, he can be pretty intimidating. And you really have to know your stuff if you're going to be questioned by him.
Elliot, we were talking about Andrew Burnett the other day because the new GM is going to have to make a decision on Andrew Burnett. He still has time on his contract. Yep. And I used the phrase conventional wisdom the other day, as in conventional wisdom would suggest that Andrew Burnett may not be back as Predators coach next season because a new GM is coming in. And oftentimes a new GM wants to bring in his own coach. So have you heard anything about the fate of Andrew Burnett? And if the Predators do make a coaching change, yeah, who are the names out there that are circulating? I know Bruce Cassidy is out there, but are there any Spencer Carberry, Ryan Warsofsky types out there, young coaches looking for their first opportunity who could be in the mix for any job that comes open?
Yes, there are a couple. And first of all, I've learned over the years not to assume. I think in most cases you expect change, Adam, but it doesn't mean it has to happen. Like Mike Gillis, who's a candidate here in Toronto, when he took over in Vancouver, he had a lengthier process with Alain Vigneault, who was the incumbent coach at the time, and Vigneault convinced him that they could work together. And one of the things I heard is that, you know, there was a long questionnaire that led into a conversation, and they had a really good run together. You know, Vancouver went to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, and they won two President Trophies as the regular season champion of the league. So I've always remembered that if that can work, you should make sure that other situations can't work. I would assume that whoever the new manager is going to make the decision on the GM. And it sounds like Tom Fitzgerald's interview is, I don't know this 100% because the Predators aren't exactly volunteering information, which I get, but it sounds like he's going in next week for a face-to-face. And that'll be an interesting one. But the up-and-coming guys, I would say there's a gentleman by the name of Manny Malhotra, who had a long career in the National Hockey League, was a first-round draft pick, played for a long time. His career ended due to it was shorted by an eye injury, although he did come back to play. I think really I've dealt with him a lot. I think very highly of him. He won the Calder Cup last year, AHL champion with the Abbotsford Canucks. He's the Canucks minor league affiliate. And another guy whose name I would say is a guy by the name of Misha Donskov, and he's going to coach Team Canada at the World Championships this year. He was formerly an assistant coach, I want to make sure I get this right, in Vegas and Dallas. And this year he moved to a position, a teaching leadership position in Hockey Canada. He was on the staff at the Olympics this year. There's more, but those are two names I would mention to you.
Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet is with us. And Elliot, when you've talked about the Predators GM search and the names you're hearing who are in the mix, I feel like you land on Bill Scott quite a bit, the assistant GM of the Edmonton Oilers. And I'm not going to pretend I know a lot about Bill Scott. I'm reading here, Derek Mason, that he graduated from Michigan State University. So Derek Mason may like that hire. But what can you tell us about Bill Scott and why he seems to be an impressive candidate for this job?
Well, you know, the one thing I've probably mentioned him a couple of times is that I know him a little bit. Now, I want to stress this because everybody tries to draw conclusions about where I hear things. It's not from him. None of these guys are that dumb. Like they are avoiding me like plague, Adam, to be perfectly honest. The thing about Bill Scott is that he was kind of demoted in Edmonton a few years ago, and it wasn't really it was one of those things he couldn't control. And he could have pouted and he could have basically mailed it in, and he did. He worked his way back up. And, he's done a lot of negotiations. He's done some stuff with he's done some stuff with analytics, including helping build their analytic department that they're doing out with the Oilers right now. But he's also run the AHL teams, and I've heard that's very important in the Nashville search, that you either have had to have been a recent GM or an AGM that had responsibility of running a team, whether at the NHL or the AHL level. And he doesn't right now for the Oilers, but he has in the past when the team was in Oklahoma City. And he has done some player personnel stuff. Like one of the things the Oilers really have credited for was when Zach Hyman was a free agent a few years ago, they were not sure if they wanted to give Hyman, who was I think 31 or 32 years old at the time, the contract that they did, a long-term deal with some trade protection that the Maple Leafs were not willing to do. And I've been told it was Scott who did a lot behind the scenes to work and convince them that that was a deal that would work out for the Oilers. I also heard that, he worked for Ken Holland. It's interesting. He's worked for a few different GMs who've won the Stanley Cup. Ken Holland, he's worked for Peter Chiarelli. He's worked for, obviously, now Stan Bowman. And, and I think I heard they really credited him for pushing the Hyman signing. So his biggest background is not in players, but he's done some work with it, and he's run an AHL team, which I've heard is a big factor. If you haven't run an NHL team, they want to know that you've run an AHL team, and I've heard that's a factor in Nashville's decision.
Elliot, depending on what happens, the new GM hire, what that new GM hire wants to do with the team, it could lead to some changes on the roster, of course. And Steven Stamkos gave a quote to the Tennessean earlier this week. He said, quote, "My expectation when I signed here was to be playing playoff hockey, and we haven't done that," end quote. Yeah. And I'm wondering what the market could be for Stamkos this offseason if the new GM decides to go in more of a rebuilding direction. Stamkos still has 2 years left on his deal, an $8 million cap hit. But he did just score 40 goals once again. So now that he has shown that he can still be the Steven Stamkos people remember him in Tampa Bay for being, what do you see the potential market for Stamkos if that's the direction the Predators go?
Well, yeah, I think now, the thing too now is that he's a $8 million player,
yes.
Adam. For a 40-goal scorer, that's really good. Now, number one, he has control over the situation. We have to remember that. He has the say. But number two, with the cap going up, and I give Stamkos a lot of credit. He had one goal in his first 14 games, and we're all looking like, uh-oh, like what's going on here? He finished on a tear, and he was a major reason that Nashville made the run. I think if the Predators went to him and said, what would you be willing to do? He would say, look, if you are not going to compete for the playoffs here, and that is not our goal, I think he would be willing to talk to them. But they would have to come to him with specific situations, I believe, and realize he kind of dictates the end of it. And I think the Predators would understand that. But, you know, with the cap going up and scoring hard to find, I don't think 2 times 8, like, I don't think that's going to scare people. If they're interested in Stamkos, I mean, they might try to leverage you, and that's the way these kinds of things work. You try to heist the team you're dealing with sometimes. But I don't look at his contract as a burden. 2 times 8 is very reasonable for a guy who just scored 40 goals. Now, you know, Father Time is undefeated, and you always worry, okay, like, when's it going to come for everybody? But there was nothing that Stamkos did in the last 65 games of the year this year that made me think he's staring Father Time right in the face.
Pretty remarkable what he did, for sure. Along those lines, Elliot, I heard you guys discussing Ryan O'Reilly's situation as it pertains to the verbal agreement he had with Barry Trotz of, yeah, I'm going to treat you like the no trade clause. Does the new person honor that? And you seem to think that the Ryan O'Reilly camp, his representation, is going to want to know the answer to that.
I think they're going to say, look, like, you made a deal. You know what the challenge is? The challenge is sometimes, Willie, is that, okay, there was a handshake deal. Well, there's a new owner now, and there's going to be a new GM, right? And it's kind of like, you know, like, I will say this, and I don't want to get too much into it, because this is where I kind of walk myself into trouble, Willie. But I think that was a bit of a battle this year at times. And I think the O'Reilly camp made it very clear that there was a promise made, and they wanted it honored, and they demanded it honored, and it was honored. But I think there were some things in that last week where some teams were starting to put some stuff on the table that at least had Nashville thinking. And, you know, all I'll say is, in reporting it at the time, there were in the days leading up to it, you know, it was like, he's not going anywhere. Oh, he might be going somewhere. He's not going anywhere. Oh, he might be going somewhere. Yeah, he didn't go anywhere. And I just know, like, at that time of year, it's a really stressful time. And, Willie, people get annoyed with me all the time at that point of the year. But I can tell when that annoyance is because, like, people are jousting over something. I just think at that point in time, like, obviously nothing happened, but I think there were some things that made Nashville at least think. And, you know, I just think that it was a bit of a challenge at times this year. But look, if you make somebody a promise, you have to live up to that promise. It's that simple. And the other thing, too, it would be different, Willie, if O'Reilly hadn't delivered his end of the bargain. But he's been tremendous for you guys.
Well, that's what I have made the point over and over, watching those guys every day, particularly Stamkos and O'Reilly. I wonder, you know, what you're actually getting in return if you were to go through the process of getting their okays, then finding the places that want them, places they'd be willing to go, and then what you get in return. Instead of riding it out, because I've made the case that every day that they're in this organization with the, if you go by The Athletic, the guys that they do a pretty good job there, they have evaluated Nashville's prospect pool as the fifth best. You've got a lot of players coming up through the ranks. Their influence on those players has a huge amount of value. So that's what I'm curious what the new GM thinks about that aspect of it.
Yeah, I think that's going to be part of the interview process, right? Like, I don't think that's going to be a surprise to the Predators, Willie. I think they're asking these exact questions. And I think that they're looking at it and saying, okay, what would you do in this situation? What's our plan for us? Like, I think one of the things, too, is that, you know, Riley's only under contract for one more year. Let's just say at the end of the year, do you guys re-sign him, or all of a sudden you have a huge hole at your number one center, right? And so I think all of these things are going to be part of the interview process. What would you do? How would you handle this? you know, what do you see as the replacement being? And I would suspect that none of these answers are going to be a surprise to them, because it would be a stunner if they didn't ask them.
You made another point of, I think, a theme that people probably need to start wrapping their arms around. A, there's not as many teams that are up against the cap like there were a couple years ago. And B, the free agent pool seems to be pretty thin already, and it'll probably get thinner before people actually hit the market, right? Some other guys will still re-sign.
Yes. Free agency is going to, there's going to be a couple of good players available, a few, but there's nobody out there who single-handedly changes a franchise. So I think the trade market, as you guys know, someone always loses early and they're pissed off, right? They're like, I can't believe we lost so early. We got to do something. You get pressure from the owner. You get pressure from your fans. And then all of a sudden you're out there and you're looking for something you can find, right? I think the trade market is going to be hotter than free agency this year. And so that's going to become the question. Like, that's why I think, again, we'll see what happens with a guy like Stamkos and a guy like O'Reilly. I think people are going to come, like, they're going to go to Barry or whoever takes over, and they're going to say, okay, what's your plan here? What are you guys thinking of doing? And if you are willing to do this, what's it going to cost? Like, there's no way nobody's going to ask them. Of course they're going to get asked. But, you know, that's why I think it's important, like, for them to sit down, and I'm sure they will, and talk to their representatives and say, okay, if we want to move them, what are our options? The other thing, too, is, like, I mean, you didn't miss the playoffs by much this year after a horrible start. Okay, what do you really think? How good are you? Are you close? Is it a mirage? Like, I think all of those questions have to be asked, too. Like, I really do think that, from what I understand about Bill Haslam, he listened to Barry Trotz, what he had to say about us getting younger. But I also think when you guys were charging towards the playoffs, you made that interesting, and you guys know it's exciting again. You know, it's the energy's in the building. The games are hot. That's intoxicating. And it's disappointing because you don't make it. But I always, like, that brief touch of how you, what it's like when you feel like you're in the race, it's tough to say goodbye to that when you've had a taste of it.
Elliot, before we let you go, because the Stanley Cup playoffs start tomorrow, can't wait. Which division winner should be on upset alert? Buffalo, Carolina, Colorado, or Vegas in the first round?
I think I'm going to say Carolina, not because I necessarily think they're vulnerable, Adam, but because I think they're facing the best team of those four. You know, Buffalo is new. How does a team handle it? Yes, but I think they're better than Boston. Utah is a really interesting team. They play up-tempo, a lot of offense. And if Vegas gets leaky goaltending like they did for most of this year, they could be vulnerable. I think I don't like the matchup for LA against Colorado. I just think that Colorado is too fast, top to bottom for them. But Ottawa, it has been a team all year that has had great underlying numbers and was nearly done in by its goaltending. I like someone said to me today, even if like that series is going to be a grind, and even if someone was to win it like 4-1, 4-2, it's going to be a battle for every inch of the ice. So I'll pick them because I think of those four teams, Ottawa's the best team that they're facing.
I feel like Ottawa is Carolina light. I do think that those two teams share many similarities. So I am really intrigued by that series. Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donicky. He joins us every week during hockey season, and he is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, as always, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy night one of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Is D-Mace there?
He is.
I'm here.
D-Mace, you have not asked me a question in like a month. I'm starting to get a
Hey, man, when you have the two hockey guys on the side of you, They got the questions, man. I just like listening.
Let's just remember, D-Mace, yes, on this show, you're the guy. The hockey guy, guy, the everything guy.
It's very un-wide receiver-like. You know, this is like the wide receiver. Imagine Derek as the wide receiver in the NFL just going in motion, running the patterns that we never throw him the ball. He would go crazy on the sideline.
I did that a few times.
You got to jump in and say, give me the ball.
I did go crazy afterwards.
Well, it's great to chat with you guys. Have a great weekend.
You as too. Well, Elliot. 615-737-1025. I don't want you to feel left out.
Oh, no. I never feel left out. I'm always in it.
We don't want to hog Elliot's time. I mean, we love talking to Elliot Freeman.
Y'all have the good questions. I just listen. My mom has told me sometimes it's better to listen than to speak.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I've learned that in my time. Sometimes
you teach all of that as he grows.
Mm.
How's that coming along?
That's a dad.
Work in progress.
Yeah. Work in progress.
Yes. I'll tell you off air what something that happened recently. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction to what Elliot Freeman had to say. Also, I heard quite the take today on the NFL draft, and we will play that and discuss it coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.